Why don't we pray, and then we will get to work. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good. Thank you because you love us. Right now we thank you because as we open this book, we remember that you speak to us. And we thank you for that. So now, God, as we read the words that Jesus spoke, we would ask that you would help us to think correctly, open our minds to understand, help us to feel, God, what you want us to feel, and be drawn to you. And I pray, God, that we would be changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, we are in Matthew chapter 6. You can flip there. We'll be there momentarily. If you know how this works, there's a little bit of talking about what we're going to talk about, and then we talk about it. So, Matthew 6, Jesus starts off like the first half of the chapter by going through a list of different things that have to do with, well, spiritual disciplines, spiritual habits, things we do in our attempt to live close to God, to live lives that are in communion with God. So things like prayer and fasting, generosity, the different spiritual disciplines. In verse 1, he says, your works of justice or righteousness. So it's anything that we would do in our search for God. And he tells us how to do these things, how to live out our search for God in our daily life. And more importantly, he tells us how not to do them. So we get the positive and the negative, and we come out of this with, this is a practical way that I can live my life and in a daily way seek after God. And today, we're going to look at a model that Jesus gives us for our prayer. He teaches us how to pray. And this I think, will be very helpful because a lot of times when we pray, we either don't know what to say, or we pray and we don't pray very well. And what do I mean by that? You say, well, I pray my whole life. I pray wonderfully. Well, I think a lot of times our prayers, and this, see if this is true for you, it may not be, but a lot of times our prayers are like a list of our things that we want. Things that we want, and want sometimes is a nice word. Sometimes it's demand. Prayer a lot of times is us going to God with a list of things that I would really like you to do this stuff for me. So I prayed today. What did you do? Well, I went to God and I took out my list and help me with this and give me this and heal me of this and make sure this doesn't happen to me and take care of me and help me and give me. And normally the things that we ask for tend to be, not always, but many times they tend to be physical things, things related to this life. Keep me alive, give me work, give me things, give me, make me happy, make me comfortable, and a lot of times when we pray, it has to do with things that we feel aren't right in our life. So I tend to pray more when I'm sick. I tend to pray more when I'm having problems at home. I tend to pray more when my bank account's getting squeezed, when things aren't going well at work. I tend to go to God and give him my list of things that I need when there's things on that list. It is like, you know, Christmas and Santa Claus. You don't send an empty letter to Santa Claus at the North Pole and say, hey, looking forward to giving you cookies this year. It's a list of stuff that you need him to give you. And so when we pray many times, it's heavily weighted on the side of us asking and saying, God, I need this, 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 and this in my life. For me, and sometimes we open that up and we ask for things for other people, but it very often it falls in that category of help me and those close to me with our lives. And when I pray like this, I'm at the center. I'm at the center of my prayer. I'm the star. I'm the goal. My life is the focus of what I'm asking for. Everything has to do with me, which is ironic because I'm talking to the creator of the universe, but I am the center of that conversation. I'm the important one when I'm praying. And in that conversation, I'm sovereign. Even though I'm talking with the great king of the universe, the all-powerful God who rules and reigns supreme over everything, when I talk to him, I tend to be sovereign. I tend to I know what should happen. And so very rarely do I say, do what you think you should do in this, you know, that I have this sickness, and do what you think you should do. That's not normally what I ask for. I kind of know. Give me this job, give me this, help me with this, help this person come into my life, help this person come out of my life. I know the plan, and I'm going to God with my plan. I tell Him what I want. I ask God to fulfill my desires, and in this, I'm still the boss of my life. I just need His help doing the things that I know that I should have happen in my life. So I kind of want to use God. When I pray, I want to use God to get my stuff done, to accomplish my will. I want to, we sometimes, maybe we don't think this, and we say, I'm going to say it, and you're going to be like, that's almost blasphemous. Of course I don't do this, but think about what we tend to pray for. Look over prayer list and tell me this is not the direction our prayers go many times. We see prayer as a way of joining God's great power with my agenda for my life. It's this magical thing where I get to take what I want to happen to the most powerful being in the universe, and He might make my stuff happen. That's pretty cool. And when I pray like this, I'm revealing my heart. I'm revealing, the content of my prayer reveals what's in my heart. When I talk to God, ask for physical things for me and for my life, I reveal that the most important thing to me is me and this life and staying in this life and staying healthy and comfortable and happy in this life. My possessions, my security, that's what I really want. I want God to help me with that. But I want Him to help me with my stuff. So I see God as provider, which He is, but little more than that. My life and my comfort and my stuff is my God. It's my idol. It's what's at the center of my heart. And I go to God to help me with that. And if you're saying right now, well, this is all kind of crazy. Of course we should ask God, shouldn't we? We should ask God for what we need. There's example after example of that in the Bible. James, you have not because you ask not. I mean, we should ask God for what we need, and we should. We should go to God and say, I need, give us this day our daily bread, right? I should go to God with my needs. We should. But see, we take asking God for what we need to an extreme sometimes, to where that becomes the totality of our prayer, where if you said, okay, I'm going to pray today, and I'm not going to ask God for anything for me in my life. And you say, what would I pray for? Isn't that what prayer is? Isn't that the definition of prayer? It's asking for what I need. And the problem is, when we pray this way, when the entirety of our prayer is almost totally me and mine and my life and what I need, and please do this for me, and please, 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 please. We pray, we talk to God, and we don't feel close to God. When that's what our prayer looks like, and then we come and we talk, like last week, prayer is a conversation with God. We say, yeah, I just don't feel close to God when I pray. I don't know, maybe it doesn't work for me. Maybe if He would give me more of what I'm asking for, I would feel more of a connection. I don't feel close to God when I pray. Why? Well, because prayer is taking Him a list of my needs. And so then I pray, and I kind of feel empty afterwards. I don't feel closer to my Father. I don't feel like I've talked to God. And then if you think, okay, if you take God the Father, Heavenly Father, and us out of the picture, and you just think of earthly fathers and their children, so if your main conversation with your child is, God, Dad, I need this, and Dad, I need this, and Dad, I need this, and I need this new Legos, and I need this new thing, and I need this, and then you go out to the store, and you're like, can I just go to Walmart by myself? Because I know the whole time it's going to be, I need this, and I need this, and I need this, and I want this, and I want this, and I want this. And when that is the totality of our conversation with our children, does the son feel close to the father when he gets everything he needs, if that were possible? No. He's in love with the stuff he's getting. He runs to his room to play with his brand new Legos, and then he comes back and asks for another one, and it's not a relationship with his father. And the father doesn't feel close to his child. He feels like he's just being used for what he can give him. And so when that is the way that most of our conversation with God looks, God, help me with this. God, give me this. God, I need this. Do this, do this, do this. Help me. Make me happy. Give me my Legos. My kids are into Legos right now, so that's the bulk of my examples. So just bear with me. Substitute whatever, you know, your kids like or liked, if you... When that's the bulk of our prayers, we don't feel closer to God. Is it wrong to ask God for what we need? No, but prayer should be so much more than that. Prayer should be so much more than that. But even when we have moments like this, we're like, yeah, I do kind of tend to think of prayer as coming to God with my list of stuff that I want Him to do. And you're right. I don't feel like I really commune with God when I pray. I feel like I'm giving Him a shopping list. And it's like, all right, you know, like, you know, give you a shopping list. And okay, honey, go to the store and get that for me. I don't feel like close to Him. Why is that? Well, okay. If that's not all prayer is supposed to be, what should I pray for? How should I pray? What should my prayer look like? And Jesus very graciously answers that question, and He gives us a model of what our prayer should look like. If you go to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 9. It's the neatest thing, and what we'll see in this prayer, in this model of a prayer, is that prayer is so much more than asking God for what we want. It's not less than that. We don't not, I know double negative, we don't not ask God for what we want, but prayer is so much more than asking God for what we want. That's the big idea in this passage. Jesus gives us a model for our prayers. Look at chapter 6, verse 9, the very first phrase. Pray then like this. Or you could say, when you pray, pray in this way. And then He follows that with this nice little poetic prayer, which isn't as much a prayer as it is, it's a teaching on prayer. It's a model of prayer. He's telling us how we could and should pray. It's not a prayer that we have to repeat every day. It's like Jesus said, pray like this. So it's like walk like this. Well, and it's not saying pray exactly these words every single day. Although, is it a bad prayer to pray? Not like if we saw last week, like if you're praying it from your heart and your mind as you're talking to God, using those words in the order that Jesus said them, it's a beautiful prayer. But I don't think He's giving this as much as a actual verbatim, say these words. Why do I say that? Well, because you look through the rest of the Bible, like, for example, Paul in all of his letters, the Apostle Paul, when he says, I always pray for you and I pray this, and he gives these lists of things that he prays, and he gives actual prayers in his letters. He says, I pray for you and I pray this, and he expands out on this whole prayer. He does this over and over again. At no time does he pray the Our Father. He doesn't go, I pray for you, I pray Our Father who art in heaven. That's not what he says. So this isn't a verbatim model to always be prayed legalistically, although you can pray it. It's a model of how to pray. It's a list of the kind of things that we could and should pray for. Jesus is saying, when you talk to God, these are the different kinds of things that you can say to God, the kinds of things you should say to God. It's like the different categories. It's like a structure, a form. It's like a prayer was a house. Jesus is saying these are the different rooms in that house. These are the different parts of prayer, the different components that make up prayer. And as we'll see, it's a lot more than just asking God for what I want. In fact, every different part of this could be its own little prayer. In this model, Jesus just doesn't tell us what the different kinds of things that we should say to God are. He also tells us what the priorities are by the order in which He says, pray for these different kinds of things. We see what's really most important. We see the kinds of things that should take up the bulk of our prayers and our talking to God. He teaches us how to pray for the first things, the important things first. And as we look at this, what you'll see, I think, is that there's a lot more profession or confession than petition. Petition is when you ask, right? Please, please give me. There's a lot more profession of, I believe this. This is true. It's a lot more of us talking to God and saying things about God to God that are true about God. Say, well, why would I do that? Why would I tell God stuff that He already knows? Well, remember last week what we read? He already knows it all anyway. God, I need a new car. He already knew that. So whatever we say to God, he already knows. Why would we tell God stuff that's true about God to God when we pray? Why would that be the bulk of what we would say, the kinds of things we would say to God? Well, because big, high level, because that's how we glorify God. That's how we worship God. That's how we say, God, you are awesome. And here is why. We say true things about God to God. And it's also how God changes our hearts. Because I wake up every day as the boss of my life, at the center of my world. And as I talk to God in the way that Jesus says that we should talk to God, our hearts gradually change. And we come into the correct position underneath God's authority. And in this prayer, God is at the center. Remember when I said earlier, a lot of times we pray and we just ask for our stuff. And who's at the center of that? It's me. It's my life. It's what I want. The way Jesus says we should pray, God's at the center of it. What he wants is at the center of it. So, what's the prayer? Well, look at verse 9. When you pray, pray like this: Our Father. The first part of praying, talking to God, is recognizing the relationship with him. He's not a big person in the sky who can just give you everything. He's not the all-powerful king of the universe, although he is. He is and can be our Father. It's recognizing the love and the approval that he has for his children. It's recognizing that there's a connection with God just because we're created in his image, that all of us can say, I'm made like you. But then there's a special connection. There's a special relationship that those who are in Christ, who have repented of him and baptized and given themselves to Jesus, can say, I'm adopted by you. You are actually my Father. And we confess that and we thank him for it. It's not just saying my Father and moving on. It's thanking him. It's saying you're my Father. Or if you're not in Christ yet, it's saying, God, I want you to be my Father. Help me make that decision. That you're my Father. You love me. You've adopted me. Thank you for accepting me. I am fully loved today because my Father, you are my Father and you love me in Christ. You are the one who has given me everything. Thank you. When we pray like this, what happens? You see how we start drawing near to God? We're talking with him, and our hearts change. We remember who he is and who we are. And then as he continues, our Father who art in heaven. I obviously learned the King James Version when I was a kid. Our Father who art in heaven. You're my Father. If I'm in Christ, if I repented and been baptized, I'm in Christ. You're my Father. You're in heaven. You're not just my Father. You're the all-powerful king of the universe. You're sovereign. You see everything. You govern everything. You are in charge of this world, and you're in charge of me. It's recognizing and accepting and confessing and praising the sovereignty of God. It's saying things like, you're the king of the universe. You control my life. You're my Father, but I accept what you're doing in my life. The very thing that I'm going to ask you to change, I accept that as being from you, as being your will. You are the great king of the universe. You know what's best. It's confessing that to God. And when we pray like this, do you see how our heart and we come into the proper place, under God's sovereignty in relationship with God? And do you see how when we pray and recognize that God is the sovereign king of the universe and confess that as we're praying, even as we then start asking him for things, the whole spirit of a demanding spirit just melts away? Because who am I to be demanding to the king of the universe? And he continues, Hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. It's your holy. You're set apart. You're different. I don't talk to you like I talk to everyone else. Why? Because you are God. You are perfection. It's naming his attributes and praising him for that. It's saying, you're holy. You're perfect. And you're good. And you love me. And you're merciful. And you're just. And I praise you because you are. And it's looking outside as we're driving and saying, you're creative. look at all this around me. This is incredible. And today was nothing like yesterday, and it'll be different from tomorrow. You are powerful. I praise you. You are holy. I praise you for who you are. And when we do this, we are glorifying God, even as we talk to him. And you see, we haven't gotten to asking anything for ourselves, but already we're conversing with God. We're talking to him. We're bringing ourselves under him, and we're becoming in awe of him more and more once again. And then we get to some petitions, some asking. But look at what Jesus says to ask for in verse 10. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. What's that? It's Jesus's, it's God's rule and reign over the world, over this rebellious world. It's asking God, would you reign over this world? Would you bring your kingdom to this world? Would you bring your kingdom would your kingdom break through in the lives of my neighbor, of this person who I love, of this family member who's far from you? Would they come into your kingdom? And would you save them? Would you bring them into your kingdom? And would you give me the opportunity to study with someone? Would you help me talk to this specific person about the gospel? Would you give me an opportunity? I'm driving now to go to work. Would you help me be able to talk to someone there, this specific person, because they need to know you and they need to be part of your kingdom, and they aren't? Would you open a door for me to speak the gospel today? It's asking God, would you save this person, specific people, praying for specific people, and in general, would you come back soon? I want your kingdom to be here. I'm part of it, but I want you. I want it to come. I want to be in the new creation with you. And when we pray like this, especially for individuals, that God's kingdom would break into people's lives, individuals that we love that are part of our lives, you know what happens? God works in their life. He works in their life, and we see it because we've been asking for it. It's not just like, oh, wow, that's kind of neat. That person started coming to church. That person got baptized. That person wanted to study. That was a neat conversation I had. It's like, God, I've been asking for this, and you're doing it. That's incredible. You work when I ask you, when I ask for you to work. And then the second thing Jesus says to ask for, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's saying we're supposed to ask for this. It's a petition, but really, isn't it more surrender and submitting ourselves to God? It's saying, okay, I'm not even asking for anything for me. I want you to do your will. Why would I ask God to do that? Because isn't it true that many times we're scared of God doing his will? Because like when I think of what I want in certain areas of my life, it's like, I don't know what God wants with that. And I hope he wants what I want. And if he doesn't, I hope that he gives me what I want. I hope that he doesn't do his will, because I want that. I really want that. I mean, is getting a new car or a new house or a new iPad or a new kid or whatever I want, is that so far out of God's will? Just give me what I want. But there's this surrender of saying, do your will. Do your will. Why would I say that? Well, because he's the king of the universe. He knows what's best. He knows what's best eternally for me. It's like Jesus in the garden when he was sweating so hard, so in so much anguish that drops of blood were coming out where sweat should have been coming out. He was in misery. And he said, God, please don't make, my paraphrase, God, please don't make me do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be brutally tortured and executed and slaughtered on a cross. But not, what did he say? Not my will, but thine be done. It's coming to God and saying, please do your will. You're the king of the universe. So in this specific situation of my life, do your will. Please do your will. Do what you think would be best. I don't presume to even know what that would be. Do what you think would be best in this other situation. Help me to accept what you obviously are putting me in the middle of right now, even though I don't like it. Help me to accept your will. And when we pray like this, we completely lose the demanding spirit. We submit to God. We accept what he gives us. And then, look at verse 11. Then the corner turns and Jesus says, now ask God for what you need. Give us this day our daily bread. I think, taking a little bit of license with this, I think this is a model. So this is like the room where it's like, give us what we need. It's not just bread, because you need like jelly and stuff to go on it. It's like other stuff. It's like, I need a house to eat the bread in. I need a job to buy that. I need stuff. Jesus knows that. We have physical needs. So he's giving us license to ask our Father, who's in heaven, who knows best, who's sovereign. Give me what I need. But look at where that appears in the list. See, when I pray, I tend to start out with this. I need this, 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 and this, and this. Oh, and I'm late for work, so talk to you later. Amen. Whatever you just say at the end, right? But that's not what Jesus says. He says, talk to God about God. Spend most of your prayer in that, and you might not even have time to get to this part. But it really doesn't matter, because you've already said, do your will. I submit to you. I want to follow you. Help me be your agent of your kingdom in this world. And then, you know, maybe there's time. So then we say, God, I need this. I need work. I need a place to live. I need this. Help me with this. But we always say, even as we ask for our needs, do your will and give me my daily bread. Don't give me everything I'm asking for, because most of what I ask for I really don't need. Most of what I ask for is greed. Most of what I ask for is me wanting my own idols. It's wanting stuff that replaces you, that I want more than you. Don't give me my idols, please. Give me what I truly need. And when we pray like this, God gives us what we need. Many times from unexpected sources. Many times through our own work. He gives us what we need. Not everything we ask for. And then in verse 12, he says, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. This is confession. When he says debts, he's not talking about banknotes. He's talking about the debts of I have sinned against you. I've offended you. It's a time for confessing our specific sins and rebellion against God. It's a time for recognizing what I truly deserve. I deserve his wrath and his punishment. I deserve physical and spiritual death, and is asking for forgiveness. And then if we're in Christ, we can thank him for the forgiveness that we have. So it's saying, God, earlier today, yesterday, I did that. I thought that. I felt that. That was sin. And I tried not to do it, but I did. I felt that. I was angry. Would you forgive me? I don't deserve your forgiveness. I deserve your wrath. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the cross. I thank you that in him that I am pure before you. And now, would you help me forgive the other people in my life who have wronged me? And when we pray like this, we're more conscious of our sin. We're more conscious of the forgiveness God gives us. And the cross is blowing up in our minds. We see the cross as being huge. And we more easily forgive other people. And the last thing that Jesus says to ask for, the last petition, lead us not into temptation, verse 13, but deliver us from evil. See, when I think of I need protection, the most, you know, the first thing that comes to mind, I need physical protection. Don't let anybody, you know, rob me. Don't let anybody break into my house. Keep my house from lighting on fire when they light those lanterns and put them in the sky on the 4th of July. Keep everything safe. Keep my kids safe. Don't let them fall out of a tree. Don't let them break their arm. Jesus says, ask for spiritual protection. That's the most needed protection. But ask for protection from Satan and from spiritual forces. Ask for protection from temptations. It's asking God, give me eyes to see the temptations as they come to me this day. Give me the eyes to see and say, that's a trap. I need to walk away from that. I need to run away from that. And give me the power to resist the things that I already know are my weaknesses as I encounter them today. Give me the power to resist them through your Spirit. And give me freedom. I've been struggling with this specific sin for so long. Would you give me freedom from that? Would you lead me away from that and not let me fall into it? Help me see where the enemy would have me fall, and give me the courage and the strength to live with confidence before you. And then it ends with this beautiful profession of faith, because yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It doesn't just end with saying, in Jesus' name we pray, amen, although that's beautiful. Jesus ends the prayer, his model, by saying, when you talk to God, even as you've asked him now for things for your life, remember who he is. And again, at the end, confess, you're the sovereign king of the universe. You decide, I don't. You have all power. You can do anything you want. And all glory in the universe and in my life today is due you. That's who you are. That's who I'm talking to. That's who I'm talking to. That's what prayer should be. You see how Jesus is saying that prayer should be so much more than going to God with a list of the stuff that we need. It's talking to God. And here's what I'd like to encourage us to do this week. Use this model as you talk to your Father. And I want to start at the end with that. As you talk to your Father, if you've been listening to this and you said, okay, I know that anyone could talk to God. That's true. Whether you're a Christian or not, you could talk to God. If you haven't made the decision to surrender yourself to Jesus, to take him on as Lord, to repent and be baptized, that then you are looking at God from the outside, looking in. And you can talk to him, but you're not talking to him as your Father. You're talking to him as someone who's rebelled against him and not surrendered to him. And when you decide to follow Jesus, when you repent and are baptized, as of that moment, your conversation with God changes because now you are talking to your Father, not just your Creator. You're talking to your Father, God. And in this community, when you're ready to make that decision, when you're ready to put Christ on in baptism and surrender yourself to God, just tell someone. The water's always kept at a comfortable 32 to 89 degrees. It varies, that's my point, but it's always relatively comfortable. If you've made that decision to follow Jesus, and God is your Father, then use this prayer. I would challenge you this week in your prayer time. First, learn it. I would challenge you to learn it. It's a very helpful mechanism to have in your mind to repeat blindly over and over again. No, but a helpful, it's like, what do I pray for when I'm driving? I can't remember everything to pray for. Just go down the list. Say, okay, my Father, and then talk about God being your Father, and then go to the next one and talk about that as it relates to your life, and then go to the next phrase and talk to God about that. And we can do that when we've memorized this. So memorize this. You probably already have. If not, memorize it. And then just take a week. Just take this week, and every day when you get up, pray through this prayer, not just repeating it word for word, but like we talked about, praying through each phrase and relating it to your life and talking to your Father. We normally pray at the end of the messages, and we've talked about prayer today, so I think that would be the most appropriate way to end. Why don't we stand and we'll pray together? God, we come to you right now. We thank you because you are and want to be our Father. You've adopted many of us in your family. And we are eternally grateful for that. We would ask, God, that for those who are with us today who have not made the decision to follow you, that you would move in their hearts and that you would draw them to you and that you would become their Father. We can ask you this, God, because you are in heaven, you are sovereign, you are the King of the universe. We praise you for that. We are not at the center of our lives. You are at the center of the universe. And you are incredibly kind and merciful and compassionate. You are holy. You are different from us. We want to be like you, and we stand in awe of you. God, we ask that your kingdom love and power would come into the lives of people that we love, that are part of our lives. Right now, God, we think of specific individuals, and we ask that your kingdom would break into their lives. And we ask more specifically, God, that you would use us in this week to be your agents, the agents of your kingdom, the ambassadors of your kingdom, that you would give us the opportunity to speak the gospel, like we heard described for us today over the Lord's Supper, that you would help us to speak that gospel to people that we love and they would be drawn to your kingdom. God, we ask that you would do your will. And as we ask that, we know that that means that much of what we want in our own lives, we're saying no to. We ask, God, that you would help us surrender our hearts to your will and help us to want your will to happen, even though many times we confess we don't want that to happen. God, I ask that you would give us what we need this week. Protect us from greed. Protect us from idolatry. That you would meet our needs. Give us work and give us food and shelter. God, we ask that you would forgive our sins, and we confess to you as a community. We confess to you as a family that we sin against you. We've thought and done and said things this week that we shouldn't do. We can each think of specific things that we've done that that our sin, that our disobedience. And we thank you, God, for the forgiveness that you offer in Jesus, that if we're in him, you've washed us clean. It's incredible. We thank you. God, we pray that this week that you would give us eyes to see temptation and give us the strength to run from temptation. That you would protect us. That you protect our souls. Protect us from ourselves. Protect us from our pride. God, you are the King of the universe. We adore you. You can do all things. God, we ask that you would receive all glory from our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.